to continue to pray for Neva and Joe Pyatt. They're still at OU Medical. I have a praise report for Chris Carnahan that we've been praying for. He completed his second round of inpatient chemo with minimal side effects and is home now. He gets a two-week break, and then we'll start his last round after Thanksgiving. So we want to continue to pray for Chris, his wife Denise, and their family. And we want to pray for some friends that are traveling to Nebraska today for family court tomorrow. Safe travels and favor in the courtroom.
Okay. Father, I just thank you so much that we can come to you, Lord, and you tell us, Father, to stand in the gap and to intercede for one another and to encourage one another. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said to bring our petitions to you, Lord, and that you would hear us and that you would answer us. So, Lord, we give you praise that you are on your throne, Lord, and you already know, you already have a solution for each and every situation, Lord. And so, Father, we just lift your people to you this morning. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Neva and Joe, Father. This battle has been long, and it's been hard, and it's just been one thing right after another. But, Lord, we ask you, God, that you would say enough is enough, Lord, and that you would cause a recovery to come. Lord, complete recovery. Lord, you do not start something that you don't finish. And Lord, we ask you to bring a finish, Lord, to cause them to that it would come to an end, Lord, Father, and that you would touch their bodies, Lord, and that you, your healing virtue would come and do the complete work in Joe's body. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for strength for them, God, and renewal, Lord God, renewal of their strength, Lord, and of their and just of their spirit, Lord, renew them today, renew their hope and their confidence and their faith, Lord. Not that they have lost their faith in you, Lord, but Lord, sometimes when you suffer through something, our faith gets tested and it gets a little bit weak. So, Father, we ask you to renew them in their faith today. And, Lord, we just thank you, God, for the end, Lord God, of this situation because, Lord, you walk with us through these things. Lord, you never leave us or forsake us. And, Lord, they wouldn't have made it this far if you hadn't have been their help. And so, Father, we give you praise for what you've already done and praise for what you are going to do, continue to do. Lord, we continue our prayers for Chris Carnahan. Lord, we thank you for this praise report, Father, that he has had minimal side effects from this last chemo treatments, Lord. And so, Father, we ask you, God, as he goes back, Father, for his third round, Lord, that you would be with him. Lord, I pray, God, that you would be with him through this two-week break. And, Lord, that you would do a work in him, Lord, so that, Lord, when they go back, Lord, that when they start in, maybe he won't even have to have it, Lord, because of your healing hand upon him. Lord, and let them be acknowledge that, Lord, and give all the praise and glory. Lord, I just ask you to get praise and glory for yourself by doing a miracle, Lord, in this situation, Father. And, Lord, just be with him, Lord, and work everything out, Lord, for your glory and for his good, Lord. And we just give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Lord, and now we bring this other request to you about these friends traveling to Nebraska today. Father, we pray that you would keep your hand upon them and give them safe travels. And Lord, you know the situation that is before them that they are facing in this courtroom, Father, and you know what your will is, and you know, Father, where everybody stands, Lord. And so, Father, we ask you to work everything out for your glory and for their good. Lord, you know what needs to come forth. You know the decision that needs to be rendered, God. And Lord, we just bring it before your courtroom today, Lord, before man's court meets. And Lord, we ask for your perfect will to be done in this situation. We know nothing about it, but Lord, you already know. You already know all things that touch us. And Lord, you know the end from the beginning, and you know what's in everybody's hearts and everybody's mind. You know their motives. You know every situation and everything about everything, Lord God. And so we ask you, God, to give your verdict, Lord, and cause man's verdict to line up with yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs and wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and your socks off. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope today.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Miss Mary Fullerton. Her title for today is Love.
Okay. So,
and not the kind that throat punches people.
No. No, that's more like the symbol.
Yeah, that's not the right kind.
Well, we were reading a situation in the old that was under the Old Testament law, and I had made the statement that back then judgment was sometimes sudden and harsh. And so The children of Israel had made a molten calf, and they had fallen down and worshipped it instead of God. And so Moses had gone up to make intercession for them. Moses returned unto the Lord and said to the Lord, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead this people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron had made. And so, Moses stood in the gap. His answer was in that group of scriptures that I just read you. This was when the law was first given. The first two tables were written by the finger of God. But as we read, Moses was angry and threw them down and broke them. But in Exodus 1 through 3, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people. I will send an angel before thee. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." For the Lord had said unto Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." And then in Exodus 33:11 through 19, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And Moses turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun." At this time, this particular scripture had Moses had gone out to the tabernacle to speak with God face to face, and Joshua, his servant, had gone with him. And so this scripture said that Moses turned again and went back to the camp of Israel. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He stayed behind and talked with God some more. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you are going to send with me. Yet you have said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight." And so Moses said to God, "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." That's what we need to pray. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. This needs to be our number one priority, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And God said to him, my presence shall go with thee. See, before he said, I'm not going to go in the midst of thee because I might get, my anger might get stirred up and I might just pour out my wrath on you, you know. But here he said, he's saying, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto God, if thy presence, now this is what we need. If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. I don't want to go anywhere without your presence, Lord. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all of the people that are upon the face of the earth. And God still requires that separation. He says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. He requires his people to live a separated life to him. How else can we be a witness to them if we don't show a difference? And so we have to be separated from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken for, that because thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he, Moses, said, I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he, God, said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So then in Exodus 34, verses 1 through 7, God told Moses to hew two more tables of stone and bring them up to the mounts, to the top of Mount Sinai. There he, God, proclaimed to Moses. In Exodus 34:27, God said to Moses, write thou these words. So Moses wrote the second copy of the Old Testament law on the tables of stone, because that's what it said. God said to Moses, write these words. And so Moses wrote the second copy of the Old Testament law on the tables of the stone that he took up there. He was there 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence. He did not eat or drink. God sustained him. When he came down, he had been in the presence of God so long that the skin of Moses' face shone. And he had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the people. He didn't know that it was that way. But, you know, he had said, show me your glory. And God did. He let him come up there and stay in his presence for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses' whole being took on the sense of God's presence. And it shone out from him. And the children of Israel couldn't hardly stand to look on him. So he had to put a veil over his face. So when he talked to the people, he did that. He put a veil on his face when he talked to the people, but when he went in to talk to God, he took the veil off when he went out to the tabernacle of congregation to speak with God. He took the veil off till he came back out. And then in 2 Peter, the third verse and the third chapter, excuse me, and the 15th verse, it says, and account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. That's what the long-suffering of God means for us today. It's salvation. And then in Numbers 14 and 18, it says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. Now, this was under the Old Testament law. But I want you to pay attention to this phrase, that he is long-suffering and of great mercy, and he forgives our iniquity and our transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty. There are consequences to what we do wrong. Even though God shows us mercy, we still might face some serious consequences when we stray away from doing what God tells us to do. And so that's how he teaches us. You know, y'all were talking a while ago about people learning the word no. You know, that's how God teaches us. He doesn't take away the consequences sometimes. He might lessen them, but we still have to go through some things, you know, sometimes. Because, and sometimes I think God does that too, so that we get to know him better. So, because when we go through those things, we seek his face more, and we get closer to him, and we understand more why he didn't want us to do that thing. And we see that he wants the best for us. God always gives us his best. His best is far better than what we could ever think, you know. And so God wants to do us good. You know, even when he says no, it's for our good, you know. And so, and God always has a different, better way than what we could ever ask or think. And so, anyway, so in Numbers 14, verses 20 through 23, it says, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times. See, you think about the long suffering of God. He said, they've tempted me 10 times, and I have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land. These ones that have just kept doing it and kept doing it, they're not going to get to go in. They will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. But he said, I'm going to give it to their posterity. And then in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not send people to hell. They send themselves by refusing to accept what God says. They choose by their choices that they make every day in either obeying God or not and in turning to Him or not. God doesn't make anybody serve Him. He wants us to serve Him with a free heart and with a free mind and with a free spirit, you know, because He's got so many good blessings He wants to pour out on us. And so He's not slack, but He's willing that all should come to repentance. Psalms 86:15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Jesus had all of these things in Him. He had the fruit of the Spirit and in Him. And so when we strive to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, we need to allow these things. We need to ask the Lord to bring forth His fruit of the Spirit in us. I say this, I've said this a long time. It's more important for us to have the fruit of the Spirit than it is. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there are also 9 fruits of the Spirit. And it's more important that we show forth the fruits of the Spirit than have the gifts of the Spirit. You know, because this is how we walk in victory, right here. And these are the characteristics of Jesus right here. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And 2 Corinthians 6:4-6. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. You know, that doesn't mean that we're just all preaching the gospel like getting in a pulpit and preaching. But we are all God's ministers. He uses our hands and our feet and our mouth to minister to one another and to the people in the world. We are His ministers. He doesn't have anybody else down here to do it. He's not going to come back down from heaven and do what He wants to use His body for. And so we're all ministers of God in much patience, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And then I've got one more scripture. Colossians 1:10-11. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. May the Lord bless the reading of His word to you this morning. Let it sink down into your heart. Take these scriptures and study them and say, Lord, let Your nature be in me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Mary. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.